Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Keep standing for a second. I'm really sensing in my spirit, Pastor Brad, that there's some people that are desperate today. Right in this room right now, there's some people that are desperate for healing. You got some bad news. Jamie, Marcus, Patricia, she just got some bad news a couple days ago. And then we're going to pray because God is the God of miracles. There's some people in this room, you've got some financial situations. You got things, you're backed up against the wall. And I hear the word of the Lord say to be encouraged this day. God has not changed. God hears your prayer. God will answer prayer. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. For I am the God of encouragement. I'm here today to lift you up, says the Lord, not bring you down. I'm here today to cause you to walk in victory, not continually questioning why and how and how come. This day is the day of the Lord to bring encouragement to the people of Gateway. And if you don't even need a miracle, just stretch your hand out around you right now, because there's people in this room right now that are right on the edge of their faith. I'm hearing the Lord say, don't give up. Don't back up. Don't take an alternate route. Keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ. And Father, this day we just ask for the release of your anointing. Spirit of God's in this room right now. Just let there be an encouragement in your heart and soul right now that God is working. God's got a plan. You're a vital part of that plan, and he's not forsaken his people. He's not going to back up and deceive his people. But there is an answer coming from heaven. This day, open heaven over the people of God. We speak that in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, somebody give a shout to God in the house of Gateway on a Sunday morning and believe God. Come on, lift their voice. Lift their voice and praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do this day, and we are ready for it in Jesus' name. Turn around, give four or five people a high five, and tell them, I believe in miracles. Good worship. Woo-hoo. Here we go. Number two. Okay. Round two, Sunday morning, Gateway. What's the joy to be in the house of God today? Great worship. Let's give it up to the worship band here this morning. God bless. Okay, I'm going to say hi to those that are watching online, to the cafe people. Get your notes out. We got the notes on your seat. We've got something to say this morning. Follow along. We've been talking about the God of miracles for several weeks now. Everybody look here. We got a stack of over 250, 300 cards of people saying that they need a miracle. And in this stack here, you got people that are broken, Pastor Greg, that are hurting, that need healing in their body, need a financial breakthrough, relationships. It'll break your heart just to read through this here. But let's just extend a hand out right now, everybody here at Gateway. Lord God, you know every detail. You know every flow of the ink that filled these cards. And Lord, come on, let's just pray right now. In Jesus' name, every need met. Lord, you're working. You're working out the details for everybody that filled out a card, Lord. We just speak in Jesus' name that, Lord God, your miracle power for every person here. Healing, relationships, financial breakthroughs. Lord God, whatever the need may be, we thank you that, Lord God, you are the God who answers prayer. You said, call upon you, you would answer us and show us great and mighty things. So right now, we just thank you for these, and we believe that you are working in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Let me give this to you, Pastor John. Hey, listen. There's a card, should be, in the seat pocket in front of you. If you've not filled one of these out or you have another need in your life, fill that out and drop that in the offering basket as it comes by latter part of the service here. And we'll keep everybody in prayer. We want to have a tsunami of faith just continually up before the Lord and believe God for some tremendous miracles. We've had a lot of testimonies come in already. We had a family that was about to lose their house. She got a new job. She gave the first check to the house for the harvest, hope for the harvest, our giving for the building here. And then they refinanced last week, and they had a major breakthrough, and they're able to keep the house. We had a healing of a back here at Pastor Chip's home group. Somebody had a dislocated disc, and God put it back together. There's other testimonies of what God is doing. So let us know what God's gonna, what He's doing in your life as well. So we've been talking about the God of miracles for the last 3 weeks. Number one was the greatest miracle of all, and that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I mean, without that, everything else is null, but with that, all things are possible. Amen? And then number two was the anatomy of a miracle, where Pastor David used the example of the gentleman that was let down through this busted ceiling, and he was in front of Christ, and Christ healed this paralytic man. And in that story, you have fundamentals that we can apply in our everyday life to see God work miracles. And then last week, Pastor David talked about the healing touch. This woman that had this flow of the issue of blood we refer to, and how she pressed in to touch Jesus. So we're coming at this whole topic of the God of miracles from different angles, different ways of looking at it. Because how many know there's a variety of ways that God does miracles in our midst? But the reason we're looking at all these different avenues here is so that our faith can be built up and we can still stay the course in regards to believing God for miracles in our life. Can somebody say amen this morning? So what we're doing this morning is we're going to talk about the topic of the battleground of a miracle. The battleground. Everybody say battleground. The battleground. The battleground of miracles. And so what's going to happen is they're teaching this same lesson that I'm sharing this morning. They're doing this down in Clovis, Modesto, Santa Rosa. Pastor David is up at Santa Rosa right now preaching the same message. And so what we're doing at all the different gateway sites, the four different sites, we're unpacking this topic of the God of miracles, but today, especially on the areas of the battleground. Has anybody ever had a battle for your miracle? I mean, you stop and think about all the stuff that we go through. I'm sure everybody here in this room would say, you know what, sometimes it is flat out just been a battle to see God do some amazing things. And so what we want to do is break this down here this morning. But before we go into the details, I got a couple of facts that I want to show you. Fact number one, if we can throw that up on the screen here. Fact number one, God desires, let's read this out loud. God desires to demonstrate His miracle power in your life. Everybody here, look at me eyeball to eyeball. Let's settle it even before we get started that God intends and has a passion from heaven to work miracles in everybody's life. Everybody. You see, sometimes we maybe disqualify ourselves, Marcus, because of maybe things we've done or we get discouraged or, you know, you can get your miracle, but what about my miracle? You know, we don't see things happening, and so all of a sudden we bring in all these qualifiers. Friends, let's settle it here. God desires to do miracles in everybody's life. Let's look at a couple of scriptures up on the screen here, and let's read these out loud together. Ready, go. No good thing does He withhold from those who love Him. Let's say it this way. No good thing does He withhold from me. Because you see, what happens is that our God, He wants to dispense of everything that He has, the resources of heaven, Jamie, so that we can experience His miracle power. No preferential treatment. Everybody is His child, and He wants to take care of all of us. Look at the next verse. Ready, go. He who did not spare His own Son. Whoa. Back up. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us some things, all things? You stop and think of the potential in that verse. Let's look at the last one. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So whatever need may be in your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, whatever, no good thing does He withhold from you. He wants to give to you, and God's got a miracle with your name on it. That's a fact, right? Everybody got that? In fact, there's other scriptures we can go through and make a big old long list of scriptures that validate this concept. For instance, if God's for you, who can be against you? I mean, there's so many different references there. I encourage you to write these down, look at them, continue to build your faith up, because if we're not careful, we can get our eyes off of Christ and more onto our circumstances and lose the fact that, hey, God wants to do something for me in my life. Amen? Okay, but fact number two, look at this. Now you can go to the next slide. Fact number two, there are other forces at work seeking to hinder and stop the power of God working in our lives. We know this. We've been taught this. We know there's elements of spiritual warfare, but this morning, excuse me, could you grab that water for me? Thank you, Pastor John. I've been talking a lot. Anyway, this morning here, what we want to do is just have a way of reminder of what has been going on many times behind the scenes in regards to spiritual warfare. So what we're going to do this morning here is talk about three battlegrounds that focus in on encouraging us, and as we apply the principles of these here, I'm sure and I believe we're going to be seeing some major breakthroughs here. So let's just go ahead and dig into the very first one here, and that is the battleground in the heavenlies. The battle in the heavenlies. Let's read Ephesians here this morning. Ready, go. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in the heavenlies, and then spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. I got to correct. Look at this verse here, friends, and you'll see that there's a battle being waged. Amen? And in this battle, many times we can't see what is going on behind the scenes with regards to our miracle. But we need to remind ourselves, hey, wait a second, there's stuff going on. There's a God, there's a Satan, there's demonic spirits, there's warfare, there's wickedness in heavenly places. And could it be, I just suggest this, could it be that what is hindering the miracle in our lives, the miracle that you need, could it be a spiritual warfare matter that is being seen in the heavenly places? Let's go to the next slide here, because we just have a quick list of some of the areas that people battle. We're talking about where the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, cause sickness and disease, financial curses, bind generations up, generational strongholds, chain up believers in sin and guilt, and then cause a delay many times in the plan of God. We can continue making a big old long list of other things that the enemy wants to do in our life to hinder and block the power of God. We've got Cleansing Stream. We've got Gateway Healing Network. If you need more information or some of this is new to you here, we can help you in a variety of different ways. But let's just settle it. Hey, the enemy is working many times over time to try to stop the power of God working in your life, okay? So that's just by way of reminder here this morning. I want to focus in on the last one on the list, causing a delay in the plan of God. And let's go to the next slide, because we're going to talk about Daniel. This is going to encourage some of you here this morning here. Daniel the prophet, he was in Babylon. He had a word. He knew the prophetic scriptures about the return of Israel back to Israel, the people of Israel, back to their homeland. And so he began to seek God. He began to pray. He needed a miracle. Okay? So on the screen here is the scripture that gives us insight as to some of the challenge that Daniel had. And when we read this here, maybe, just maybe, Pastor John, this is what some of us here are being faced with as well. Let's read this here out loud together. And down at the Daniel chapter 10, ready to go, out loud. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. We don't have a lot of insight as to how and why this took place. But here's what happened. Daniel began to seek God. He prayed, but nothing happened. A day goes by, Greg, nothing happens. Another day goes by. A week goes by. Tom, nothing happens. 10 days go by. Did God hear his prayer? Is God going to answer his prayer? Maybe there's sin in my life. Maybe I've done something wrong. God's not going to answer my prayer. Or maybe there's something else, Anthony, that's going on. I don't know. And so Daniel here, we don't know if there was a challenge in, you know, mentally. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know. But we do know this. After 21 days, there was, Jamie, a major breakthrough. And this angel comes up and shows up here to Daniel. Now, if you read this carefully here, slow down a little bit here. The angel says, I came the moment you prayed. Amen? How many know that Jesus hears prayer. He says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. How many know that Jesus delights in the prayer of the upright? How many know here today that as soon as you call out the name of Jesus Christ, things begin to happen, things begin to change, things begin to shift? You need to believe in that, because you see what happened here with Daniel behind the scenes. As soon as he prayed, action was taking place in the heavenlies. Okay? The angel was dispatched. Father God said, hey, go take care of this, whatever situation. And so here's Daniel. He's praying. He's not knowing that the angel was on his way. Okay? But there was this war in the spiritual realm. The king of Persia was overseeing the demonic realm there. And how this battle took place, we don't know. But how many times is it that we pray and we don't see results right away? We begin to question God. We begin to back off, and we begin to deviate from what we're believing for. My friends, many times the hindrance is a spiritual warfare matter. Many times there's stuff going on in the heavenly realms here that we can't see. The message to us this morning here, friends, is when you pray, Jesus said, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You need a miracle? Go pray. You need a healing? You need a breakthrough? Pray. And as soon as you pray, I mean, how long does it take? How long does it take for Jesus to heal your prayers? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Is the internet down? I mean, how long does it take for him to get to heaven? Friends, as soon as you speak the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus. As soon as you utter the words, His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open unto your prayers. Lock on to that. Don't lose that promise, friends, because many times we give in way too soon. We give in because we can become discouraged. We don't see the difference happening. Nothing's happened. She's still the same way, or the kids are still the same way. The job, the finances are still the same way. I don't see any change in the natural realm. Friends, as soon as you pray, action's taking place. We don't know all the details, but know this, the answer's on the way. Amen? Hold on to that. Okay, now let's go to the next battleground. And as we do that, all the small group leaders, you're watching online, we're going to put a pause here. Go through the rest of your study guide and be blessed in your small group with the God of miracles. But I want to talk to you here, number two, the second battle is the battle for your heart and your mind. This verse here is from Proverbs. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, above all else. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. So the encouragement there is to guard and protect our heart before the Lord, to keep our eyes upon the Lord, keep our heart in an atmosphere of encouragement and faith and joy, etc. How many know that there are things, there's pressures out there that would want to cause our heart to shift, to get discouraged, to take our eyes off Christ? And many times there's this battle going on between your heart staying in faith before the Lord and our battle to keep our eyes off of the circumstances. I mean, it's easy. You can see the problem, but it's harder to keep our eyes upon the Lord here. And here the encouragement is to guard it above all things. If you go to the next screen here, we just have a quick list of some of the things that want to weigh our hearts down, that want to challenge, get our hearts off of faith and onto the problem many times. We got stress, worry, fear, debt, problems, health issues, job loss. Anybody ever lost a job? I mean, you got fired or whatever, and just that fear that grips you. Like, what am I going to do? How is this going to work out? Marriage challenges, no time, mental torment, no sleep, no relationships. We can make a big old long list here. My encouragement to you, friends, is that we keep our eyes upon the Lord and that we don't allow our hearts to move into areas of fear, doubt, insecurity, etc. Now, we got a story here. We're going to use Jairus as an example. Now, Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue in Capernaum. He had a little girl, 12 years old, and he had heard that Jesus was the healer. Okay, so his little girl gets sick, and he's wondering, okay, what to do? And he heard that Jesus is back. He just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he's back in Capernaum. Okay, so here's the setting. Jairus has got a little girl, okay? And how many guys here got little girls that get sick? You got a girl, Tom? And you know your love for her. And so here's Jairus, and he's thinking about his little girl. And here's Jesus. He's the healer. Okay, if I can go see Jesus here, and if somehow I can make this connection here, maybe, just maybe, there can be a miracle for my daughter. Okay, so here's the deal. Jairus, we don't have a lot of the background, but we know that Jesus was coming back to Capernaum. Jairus goes up to him, and he says to him, Ron, he goes, my daughter is sick. Could you come heal my daughter? Jesus says, yep, let's go get this done. And so they both walk to go back to the house. How many know it's a wonderful thing when you got Jesus right by your side and you're walking back to the house because I'm about to receive a miracle. I'm about to have my daughter healed. I mean, you can play this out here because you can see the scenario that takes place where this guy, there's hope, there's a spark of faith. There's like, okay, maybe everything could be fine. Maybe this can work. And then all of a sudden, the parade stops, and then we have the story about the woman that came up behind Jesus, touched his garment, and she received her healing. So in that whole scenario of that woman receiving her healing, like Pastor David preached last week, here's Jairus standing on the back, on the side, and I could just see him thinking, wait, we're supposed to go get my daughter healed. What are you doing stopping? Jesus, come on, we got to keep moving. And there was a slight interruption in the agenda for Jesus, okay? And I could just see Jairus is getting perhaps a little bit nervous. And then we have this verse here. Let's all read this out loud together. Ready, go. Some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter, let's stop there. Anybody ever received bad news? Like bad news, like it's over. The wife comes in and says, this marriage is over. Or the husband, or the job, it's over. And you're believing God for something, whatever, and all of a sudden, it looks like all hope is gone. I've been in those situations. And it's hard. It is hard to keep your heart trusting in Jesus Christ when all the circumstances say it's over, it's done. And that's what these guys did. If you keep reading here, he says these guys came to Jesus and they said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And so here's Jairus. He's thinking, I could just see the emotion rise up inside him, Tom. He's thinking, Jesus, if you hadn't delayed, maybe I could have had a different outcome. Maybe my daughter wouldn't have died if you hadn't delayed. And his mind warped because of just that fear that gripped his heart. And I know many of you here in this room, we come to church, we have our church face, church clothes on here, but you read through those stacks of cards there, and some of you people are in this same situation, like it's almost over. And watch what Jesus did, because this is exactly what he wants to do for you today. We're talking about the battle for your heart and your mind. Look at this, read the rest of this verse here. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, let's read this out loud, do not be afraid, only believe. So here's Jesus. He gets this woman healed of the issue of blood, and then he hears this report that comes to Jairus, and so Jesus sums up the situation like that. And he's looking at Jairus, and he's basically saying, okay, buddy, come on, you got to hang in there with me, man. It's not over. They said it's over, but Jesus Christ has the last word, friends. Jesus Christ, his word has preeminence. Don't ever forget that. Write that down, because what may seem to be over for you is not over here with Jesus. And Jesus is looking at Jairus going, no, listen, only believe. I am with you. I am going to walk with you. And as we continue to keep your eyes upon me, we're going to see the miracle. And so we know the rest of the story, but I mean, Jairus had to make a decision right in the middle of that scenario here. He had to make a decision to keep his heart and his mind on Jesus Christ. My high recommendation here this morning, friends, is when the pressure gets hard, gets strong, that we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. It's like Jesus is saying to Jairus, hey, buddy, come on. We got to look eyeball to eyeball here. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Only believe. Everybody say, only believe. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, only believe. Look at your other neighbor. Tell him, only believe. Because you see, a lot of us here are right in that balance. A lot of us here are right in that stage here. We can go either way. There seems to be a delay. Jesus is doing something else. And if we're in that position where Jesus comes up to us, he says, don't doubt. only believe, hang in there, let's go for a walk, and let's get your daughter healed. Amen? So Jesus was the one that was able to be the answer for that battleground within that gentleman. The last battleground we're going to look at here this morning is the battleground for your worship. The battleground for your worship. Here David in Psalm 18, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. David knew there was a direct correlation between his praise and his victory over the enemy. You go through the book of Psalms and you see example after the example after example of where David, he knew that if he kept his praise up before the Lord, then he has the opportunity to see victory within his life. You see, there's many, many examples in the Bible where there's a direct correlation between your praise, your worship of the Lord, and lifting him up, and your victory in the battle. I wrote a statement here, if we can just go to the next slide, and one of the things that we need to keep our mind on is the fact that there are certain forces out there. In fact, I'm going to read this here. Look at this up on the screen. Demonic strongholds over the Bay Area know the power of your praise and worship and will stop at nothing to silence the voices of God's people. Let me ask you a question, Gateway. Has the pressures of needing a miracle, has society, has all the challenges, has it taken away your praise? Has it silenced your voice? Because the enemy knows if we can shut up the people of God, then one of the very strongest weapons to be able to see victory in battle is taken away. And what happens many times is when there's challenges in our life and we're believing for a miracle and we don't see it take place, many times we lose courage to continue to stand in prayer. We recluse back. We shut up, we start getting our mind into this whole scenario as compared to knowing that as you worship God, as you keep your praise high before him, that things are changing in the very atmosphere. Your praise changes the very atmosphere in which you're living in, wherever it may be. I mean, I've known people 2:00 in the morning, all by themselves, tears running down their face, back against the wall. They need a miracle desperately, and all they've got is a quiet whisper, praise God, hallelujah. My heart's about ready to blow up, but I'm going to keep my praise before my God. I'm going to keep my praise hot before my Lord because I know that I've got praise going on before him and that I will continue to see the victory because of his glory in my life. Amen? And so what do we have here? If you go to the next slide there, we have an example of the story of Jericho, and we know how Israel was to go in and march around Jericho and begin to shout and bring the walls down. But here's what happened. That scenario, that miracle, was experienced in direct proportion to the shout of praise. There are specific miracles that God wants to do today, even in our lives, that is in direct proportion to the praise of God's people here. That's why, Gateway, we cannot lose our praise. We cannot give up on the worship of our God. When we come to church, it's not a spectator situation. It's one where we begin to lift our praise to God. Amen? And what I want to do here is just run through some quick scriptures here and give you an encouragement regarding your praise. Look at this here. Praise gets God's attention. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is there in the temple. The Pharisees are upset that the people are crying out to him. And Jesus says, listen, guys, if these people would hold their peace, these rocks would cry out praises to God. You see what's happening in the Bay Area is there's a lot of pressure, a lot of forces to silence the people of God. And Jesus said, hey guys, if Gateway would hold their peace, we're going to have other rocks. We're going to have other people begin to praise God. There's churches all over the place here that God wants to continue to encourage to worship and to praise him because as it does, it gets his attention. Number two there is that it ushers in the presence of God. In Psalm 22, we know that he inhabits our praise. Everybody just raise your hands right now. Just raise your hands, everybody, and just thank God right now because as you silently just give praise to God, he ushers in his presence on your life. And as you praise God, the Bible says that he comes alongside us. As you praise God, he inhabits your praise. You got pressure in your life? Worship God. You got decisions to make that are difficult? Worship God. You got situations where you're back against the wall? You got to worship God because you're ushering in his presence when you do. Amen. Number three, Number three, silences the enemy. Psalm 8, verse 2. We're told there that as we worship God, it says that he's given us strength and power in our praise so that we could silence the enemy. It's just like, Pastor John, I mean, I've been in situations where it's like something's just screaming in my ear. You ever been there, Joy? Where it's just like, this ain't going to work. Why even try? It's too late, et cetera, et cetera. And here's what I know. I know that my praise silences the enemy. And some of us here, we need to lift up our voice in praise and do so so that the enemy and his voice can be silenced and the praise of God can be louder. Because what happens many times is as we're hearing the voice of the enemy, we turn and we just say, listen, no, I'm going to not listen to your voice. I'm going to worship my God. And when I do so, your voice is going to be silenced. That's one of the promises that God has given you. And so when we worship God, we're at a place where the voice of the enemy begins to diminish and the voice of the Spirit of God begins to rise up. And so I encourage you, Gateway, that we are in a position where we worship God and that as we do so, the voice of the enemy becomes diminished. Amen? Okay, now the next one there. Raises you above your enemies. Psalm 27. David here says, now is my head lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Many times we get so discouraged here that we feel like we're going down instead of going up, that we're going sideways instead of going forward. And here David says, no. Now my head is lifted up. That's one of the purposes of praise, to worship to God, is that that whole battleground, as you worship God in the midst of that battleground, it says here in Psalm 27, your head is lifted above your enemies round about, and you offer in your tabernacle sacrifices of praise. Some of us here, as we praise, even towards the end of this service today, God wants to lift you up above your circumstances, so that you can fly high above all the clouds, all the discouragement, et cetera, and be in the presence of God. Amen? And then the last one here brings about a mighty deliverance. Psalm 149, the Bible says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. So that as we praise God, there's weapons of war that the enemy is silenced, that we can continue to praise God and see circumstances shifted, see people come into alignment, see financial breakthrough. I mean, there's a whole list of things that takes place in Jesus' name when we begin to continue to worship and to praise God. And so what I want to do here this morning, friends, is just encourage you in these three areas here. There's the battle in the heavenlies. There's the battle to guard your heart. There's the battle for your worship here. And I want to encourage you that even towards the end of this service here, if you've not lifted your voice in praise in a while, do so today. Make a decision today that you're going to continue to worship God, keep your eyes upon him, guard your heart, and believe God for your miracle. Let's go to the next slide here, because this is the encouragement that you will win the battle for your miracle. As you say no to your enemies, stay strong in prayer and stand bold in worship. Everybody here at Gateway, let's all stand up right now. If you're believing God for a miracle, begin to just lift your voice. Begin to lift your voice in praise. Don't pay attention to somebody on your left or on your right. Just begin to lift your voice in praise, because there's breakthroughs that are going to be coming even right here, right now. And the enemy wants to silence you, but God wants to lift you up. He wants to be able to have you silence the enemy. He wants to be able to have you know that in the heavenlies, there's answers on the way, that the promise of God is yours, that you are able to continue to stand, knowing that even in the battleground of worship and the battleground of your heart, in Jesus' name, you can continue to go on. So let's all lift our hands and let's just begin to praise God. Lord, this day, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the miracle. We thank you for the healing. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that there's the encouragement of your kingdom, Father God, to be able to encourage your people in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice. Praise God. Lift your voice. Come on, praise God. Lift your voice and praise God. Praise God regardless of the circumstance. Praise God regardless of the darkness. Praise God regardless of the pressures around you. Praise God in regardless of the sickness or the financial problems that a person may be experiencing. Continue to praise God. We thank you, Father God, this day in Jesus' name, that, Lord God, we can continue. And I speak in Jesus' name that, Lord God, any heaviness over the people, any doubt, any discouragement, anything holding back the promise of God in Jesus' name, Lord, we rebuke that in Jesus' name. We thank you for the release of your anointing over the people this day, Father God, in Jesus' name. Now, if you need a miracle, give it God a shout in your life right now today in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat real quick, because there's another miracle that needs to be discussed. We can talk about the miracle of physical healing. We talk about finances, relationships, etc. But there's the miracle of the person coming to Christ for the very first time. There's the miracle that takes place when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life and causes them to be a new person, forgiven, loved, and receive the gift of eternal life. So what we want to do this morning is we want to encourage anyone that's here that has never received Christ as your Lord, or you may have done so years ago, but you know, you kind of been on the edge. God wants to do a miracle in your life today. God wants to bring you into that relationship with Him in a strong way. The Bible says Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and if you open the door, He'll come in. And so what I want to do is have every head bowed and the eyes closed, and I want to say a prayer. And I want to just encourage everybody here that has never taken that step to do so this morning. Father, we just thank You right now for the miracle of the new birth, for the miracle of what You've done because of Your death and resurrection. I thank You right now, Lord Jesus, that You're talking to people for the very first time to receive You as Lord. And I ask in Jesus' name for Your grace to fall upon and rest upon every individual who has never come to know You, or people that maybe have backslid, people are coming back home for the very first time. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, let Your grace rest upon them right now. If God is speaking to you and you want to make that decision, I encourage you to go ahead and just say, hey, Pastor Chris, that's me. Raise your hands right now. I want to just encourage you to raise your hands wherever you're at, that that's the decision you're making here today in Jesus' name. Anybody that has never received Christ, there's a hand over here. I see that. Anyone else over on the side here? You want to come back to Christ? You want to live for Christ? There's another hand over here. I see people that are in this room here even this morning. You're right on the edge, and I encourage you to make that step forward to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as somebody that cares for you more than anyone else in this whole world. There's a few hands that went up. Let's pray this prayer right now in Jesus' name. Lord, come into my life. Everybody together. Lord, come into my life. Be Lord of my life. I give You my life. I ask You to forgive me and live in me. Thank You for the gift of eternal life. I make You Lord of my life this day. I believe You died for me, and I believe You want to live in me. So this day I turn my life over to You, and I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a shout out to those couple of people here that made that decision. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but I still want to encourage you. We have this little card that you saw in the video earlier here this morning. Little card here. Fill that out. Let us know who you are. We want to help you. We've got information that could help you in your walk with Christ. Or maybe there's some other decision that you want to make there today to be able to get involved, to understand. Maybe you need prayer regarding some of the things we talked about here today. So take this card, fill that out, and then we're going to drop that in the offering here, which we're going to take in just a few minutes. But when we speak of the offering here now, we want to encourage you. Many times there's breakthroughs when people even start giving more or give the tithes and offerings unto the Lord. We've had several breakthroughs when people began giving to the Lord. I'm looking at John over here. AJ said here earlier this morning, they had major breakthroughs in the finances when they began correlating the finances of the kingdom in their own life. So, Father, we thank You for this opportunity to bring the tithes and the offering into the house of God. We thank You for this opportunity to be able to give. And, Lord, I just speak blessing over every person in this house today as we honor You with the tithe, with the offering, in Jesus' name. Ushers, let's wait upon the people, and then we're going to continue some worship.
I believe in You. I believe in You. Let's sing it together. You're the God of miracles. Yes, Lord, we believe. We respond to Your word. I believe in You. I believe in You. You're the God of miracles. Oh, I believe in You, God. I believe in You. I believe in You. You're the God. Let your faith arise to the Lord. I believe,
Morning that need some prayer. We have our prayer teams up here. Don't leave this house today until you get prayer. If you've been battling any areas that we talked about here this morning, come on up. Be in agreement. The Bible says if any two agree, it'll be done. So we want just to encourage you to come up and get some prayer. For the rest of us, everybody else here, let's read this last prayer here because we want to commit this to the Lord this day because some of us here, I sensed, have been in some major battles, but you know what? Let's remember this, what we said here this morning. And let's say this last prayer here. And let's be in agreement for what God can do. Amen? Ready to go. Thank you for the victory you have given me through your death and resurrection. This day, I stand in your victory and refuse to allow anything to interfere with your miracle power in my life. This day, I raise my voice in praise.
Yes,
for the victory
Lord.
Is mine
you,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name. One more time, Gateway. If you believe that, lift God's name. And let there be a praise in the house of Gateway. Come on, let's lift it up. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's give him the highest praise. Let's give him the highest praise in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just commit this week to come to you. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for miracles, Lord. And we know that as we go out through the doors there, Lord, the enemy wants to try to take the seed out of our heart. But, Lord, we're going to guard it. We're going to be guided by your spirit, Lord God. And we thank you for the opportunity to come back next week, get involved in our small groups, whatever ministries we're involved with. And we thank you for the testimonies coming in of what you've done. In Jesus' name, come get some prayer. Otherwise, Gateway, be blessed. Have a great week. See you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our